How's everybody doing? All right, I got a little bit out there, so some of you guys are awake. I tell you, I enjoyed that music. We're talking about worship this morning. And that last song, what is the heart of worship? We're going to have a great time this morning. This 40-day study for me has been a blessing. You know, you figure you've been a Christian for a while. You know, you've gone to seminary. You've gone to college. Went out and got a doctorate. You should understand all this stuff. You know what? I'm still learning. You know, it's been amazing to me. I really enjoyed Rick this week as he talked about, you know, the need to serve and have a ministry in your church and a mission in your community. And I really enjoyed that. And then this morning's message, this morning's conversation we want to have this morning, if you look at your titles up there, it's called Worshiping Together. I want to ask you a question. What is it God wants more than anything else from us? As you think about your life, what is it God wants more than anything else? I want you to think about that for a minute. I got some answers already up here. They're really going over it. I like that. They're jumping right in. What is it that God really wants? I mean, does he want us to be Bible scholars and to know the ins and out of his word? Now, should we study his word? Yes. But is that really all God wants? Just dwell into the scriptures. Does God want us to memorize everything and be in church every Sunday and all the rituals and all the routines and all the things that make a Christian life? What is it God really wants most? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's real simple. God wants to have a love affair with us. God wants you to know that he loves you and he wants you to love him back. Look what the scripture says here this morning as we look at the message. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." God wants us to love. He wants us to know that he loves us. No matter who we are, no matter what's happened in our life, no matter what we've done with our lives, God loves us. And what he wants in return is for us just to love him back. He wants to have a love affair with us. That's really what God wants. But if you're like me, now some of you, you give me a bad time again this morning. Somebody tried to hug me up here. And you know that's, you know, my comfort zone. You know, I kind of had a comfort zone. Give me a nice, firm handshake and maybe a pat on the shoulder. And I really, you know, but a nice hug sometimes does feel good. From my wife, okay? You know? But some people have a hard time. You know, I was raised in my home, and honestly, I never remember my parents, my mom or my dad, saying, "I love you." Never. Now, I have no doubt that I was loved. There was no question in my mind that I don't need to go there. I know that. But those words were never spoken. It was just... You know, there's some of us that grow in this non-expressive kind of home. And so we talk about love, it's kind of like, you know, and some of us, like for me, emotions are those things that are out there. I'm not an emotional kind of person. Now, you ask my wife, she's going to tell you, I'll cry at all these movies, and sometimes I do, you know. But emotions are kind of something we kind of, you know, some people stuff their emotions. I try not to stuff them. But you talk about love, and then some... are afraid of love because of past experiences. They've been burned. You know, they've been hurt. There's some resentment. And they're afraid of love. You know, and so when I say love God, some of us just kind of like, well, now wait, what are you talking about? What does it mean to love God? And how do I demonstrate that love? I mean, it's something that I want to tell you is learned. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Love is something that we learn. And that we grow and that we can experience and that we can share. And we're going to look at that this morning. And as we look at that, I want to make sure you get a picture here because it's not just what we do on Sunday morning. Because love is best demonstrated by worship. Love, the best demonstration of love to God is when we worship him. When we tell him back that we love him. When we share with him. And it happens individually. And it also happens as a corporate when we do it together, when we worship here this morning. And we need to see that as we think about having a love affair with God. There's a personal element of it, And there's a corporate element of it. And I want us to see that. And what's interesting is if you read the scriptures and you come to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the one that's really fun to read and confusing to understand, and you read that book, it has a picture of worship. I want you to look at this passage. It's rather long, but look at what it talks about as we talk about corporate worship. Look at what it has to say here. Then I looked again. John says, I looked into heaven, and this is what I seen. And I heard the singing of thousands and millions of angels, and the throne and the living beings and the elders. And they sang in the mighty chorus, the Lamb is worthy, the Lamb who was killed. The Lamb is Jesus, just for your information. He is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea also sing, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever. See, there's this element of corporate worship where everything, you, I, the angels, every being glorifies and praises God. And that's how we express our love to God. And so what I want to do this morning is, I read about a book, I looked on the internet and found a book that says 10,000 ways to say I love you. So I thought we'd go through those this morning. But 10,000 sounds like a lot, so I kind of boiled it down to six. Does that sound okay? Or would you guys rather have 10,000? Let's go for six. If I can do these six, I'll be happy. You know, I'll tell you, you know what's interesting is Google love on the and Amazon for books and stuff, and it's amazing what's out there. And to see what's out there and how misunderstood love really is and how perverted the world has taken love. And so I'm going to boil it down to here's some ways you can praise God, you can worship God, you can say, God, I love you. And this first one, you've already participated in, you've already took part in, because it's called I sing. By singing to God, by singing to Him, we are saying, God, I love you. Now, most of us maybe not have connected that to saying I love you to God. But you know, there are more songs written about Jesus Christ than love songs. Anybody know all those love songs on the radio and on the internet and all those things, your iPods and iTouches and everything? There's thousands of songs, but nothing comes close to songs about Jesus and our love for Him. It's one of the number one ways that we can tell God we love Him is by singing His songs, by exalting His name, by living Him up, by lifting Him up. But for some of us, we can't sing. All right? Now, some of you have been blessed with a voice, and you have been blessed with skills and with talents. And God has honored you with those, and you need to use them for God's glory. But there's others of us who can't sing. But we are told to sing. Look what the scripture says. Let the whole world bless our God and sing aloud His praises. Anybody sing softly sometimes? Anybody sing so low you can't hear them? You know, that's me, all right? Yeah, but singing is one way, and the reason is, let me give you a reason. The reason singing is so powerful when it comes to sharing love is music comes from the heart. Am I right? Music is something that just comes inside of it. It's not something that comes from our head. Now, you may write the lyrics, and you may write out the words, but those words are coming from your heart. And when you want to have a love affair with God and you want to have a love affair with Him in a special way, it comes from your heart and you unite your heart in the music and the songs that you sing. And so we need to lift up God's voice and we need to sing to God. And what's so exciting about that is we can do that anywhere. We can do that any place. Some of you I know sing in the most prestigious place in your house. You sing in the shower. You guys knew where I was going there, right? You sound best. You got the best acoustics in there. Nobody can hear you in there. And you're in there by yourself, and you don't worry about it, and you sing. You can sing while you're mowing your yard. You can sing while you're driving down the road. You can sing while you're walking. You can sing anywhere, any place. And that just puts you in communion with God, and it just attaches your heart to God. And that's one way to worship Him. That's one way to have a love affair with God, is to sing and enjoy that experience. But what about somebody like me? What about somebody like me who can't carry a tune? I can't clap and sing at the same time. I can't walk and chew gum, that old saying. I can't. I mean, if either I'm going to clap and keep beat, or I'm going to sing. Take your pick. You don't get both. You know? So what about me? Well, the Bible has something for me and for you. It says, make a joyful noise. Now, just so you understand, joyful is in the ears of the beholder. All right? So what's joyful to me may not be joyful to you, but God loves it all, okay? And we need to see that. Look at what this next scripture says. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us give a joyous shout to the rock of our salvation. I'm going to tell you, this is a command. It's not an option. It's not, well, if you like to sing, sing. If you can carry a tune, sing. If you sing well, sing. God says, sing to Him. And I want to encourage you, anywhere, any way, place, sing to Him. But what's nice about when you come to church and you come into a facility like this and we gather in a group, we can turn the music up and you can't hear me. You know what I'm saying? You can drown out all those voices. And that's what's nice. I don't mind singing in a group, because I can sing low enough so that you can't hear me. You know, I stand here at the end of the service and I'm singing with them. I don't know how many of you are singing, but they can tell you, you know, that I'll sing with them. Yeah. Now, I'm not singing real loud. I'm not singing so everybody can hear me. I'm singing for the audience of one, and that's God. See, when we sing, you're not singing for all those that are sitting around you. Even when you come to church, you're singing for God. So I want to encourage you to sing. And so what I'm going to do through this whole series of messages, I'm going to ask you a question, and you can look on your paper, and I have three responses for you. All right? You can either be regular, occasionally, or rarely. So here's the question, the first one. How often do you sing your thanks or love to God? Circle one. How often do you? Now, my circle would be a great big circle that goes regularly, occasionally. I sing occasionally, regularly, all the time. All right? What about you? Where do you sing? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to underline where you want to go. Circle where you're at. Underline where you want to be. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'd have to circle occasionally. I am not one who sings. If you take my iPhone and you look at all the songs that are on there, there are probably a dozen songs on my iPhone that I would sing to and sing with, but there's probably 30 sermons on there. I go for a walk every morning and I put my iPhone on. They've told me not to do that so that somebody could get me and mug me or something, but I do that and I'm listening to sermons. I'm not a big singer. I've sat there. I pray to God. I thank you, God, for that message, and that's me. But I do sing infrequently. I think that word occasionally would be me. I need to do it more often. What about you? Let's look at the next point. Another way that we can have a love affair with God, worship God, praise God's name, is when we talk to Him. When we talk to God. You ever feel far from God? You ever feel like God's not right there? You ever feel like sometimes there's some distance? I'll give you a little hint. When that's like that, you know what the problem has probably been? You haven't talked to Him lately. Seriously. If you feel like there's some distance between you and God, that there's something, you know, you're not right where you want to be, the problem is probably we haven't talked to Him. Now, we have a great big biblical word for this. It's called prayer. You know, don't get confusing. Talking to God is praying. And we have that word there, and we need to see that. Look at what it says. I love the Lord because he hears and answers my prayers. Because he bends down and listens, I will pray as long as I have breath. Now, how many of us can go back to our dating days? Maybe you're still in your dating days. Can go back to the time when we were courting. How much time did we spend on the phone with that individual? Yeah. I can remember when I would call Laura when we were dating. And I'd be on the phone for 2 hours at night. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you call them on the phone, it's 10 o'clock. Oh, it's midnight, I got to get some sleep. And you finally hang up. And we did that. Now, come on, don't say that. You guys act like I'm the only one that did that. Now, I know some of you others were in that boat. You know, you talk to them all the time, and you were always wanting to listen to them and be there and hear from them. And if they didn't call you, you were worried, what's wrong? What went wrong? See, talking to someone starts uniting our hearts. It starts giving us a picture of one another. It starts sharing our lives together. And that's what we do when we talk to God. We start talking to him, we start sharing our life, and we start hearing what he has to say, and we start experiencing God and knowing him, and we need to talk to God. We need to hear from God. We need to pray. See, and we need to spend time with him and discuss things with him and speak to him. And again, what's interesting is we need to do this as individuals. You need to pray. You need to sit down and talk to God. But you also need to do this as a group and corporately. This is a great time. I want to encourage this week. I've kind of planted the seed and mentioned it before in one of the other messages. I'm going to drive it home again this morning. We have our small groups. You meet with your little group, and I want to encourage you. If you're not in a small group, find one. There's a lot out there. They're inviting you. You're always welcome. You need to get in your small group, and I want to encourage you to pray out loud in your small group. Everyone. I can remember the first time I prayed out loud. Yeah, I can remember we were doing a skit in a church. We had just got back from camp, and they were outlining a skit, and I took this little part that I could just disappear in. All right, it's like, I'll just do this little part, and then I don't have to speak anything, I don't have to say anything. I just walk down the aisle, and I stumble onto the ground. That's easy, that comes natural, all right? And so that's all I got to do. And so they outlined this whole program in this youth group, and I've only been in church about 6 months, 8 months, accepted Christ, and just kind of plugging along, learning the ropes of being a Christian. And all of a sudden, after they get done with the outline, they go, well, now who's going to say the opening prayer? Well, let's see, you walk down the aisle first, and you stumbled. When you stand up, you say the prayer. I was just going to walk down the aisle and fall. What do you mean? Now I got to do the... I still remember saying my first prayer in church. They set me up. You know, it's like, here you go. You know, I remember that. I want to encourage you not to pray in front of the church. Let's get it started with praying in front of your little home group. You know what I've done in my home group, and we've been in our home group, is it's like pray a sentence. Just say a sentence, say a word. Just start learning to pray out loud. And I want to encourage you, even in your personal prayers, when you're by yourself, I'll tell you again, I mentioned it before and I'll mention it again, pray out loud. You know, when you pray in your mind and you pray in your heart, it's easy to get sidetracked. You know, how many of you, if you've been like me, you've been praying and talking to God and all of a sudden your mind starts going over this way? Well, now what are we going to do when this... And your mind starts going over here. But when you're praying out loud, it keeps you on track. So I want to encourage you to pray out loud personally and learn to pray out loud in your home group. That's a small group. They care about you. They're not going to make fun of you. They're not going to say, hey, did you hear what so-and-so said? I can't believe they can't pray. They're not going to do that. You know, they're there to love you, to share with you, to be with you. Learn to pray out loud. Learn to pray in your group. It's a challenge. It's scary. But you know what? Let me give you a little hint. When you pray, it's never a mistake. Seriously. Whatever you said, what's on your heart and on your mind. And I'm going to say some of the most beautiful prayers I've heard are stumbling prayers. Prayers that they stop halfway through. They don't know where to go. You've been in that boat? I've been in that boat. They don't know what to go. They don't know what to say next. And yet whatever comes out next is what God had on their heart at that time. It's okay. We need to pray like that. And so I want to encourage you, God listens to our prayers. Pray to Him. So here's the question. How often do you talk to God each day? Regularly, occasionally, rarely. Circle where you're at. How often do you talk to God each day? And now underline where you'd like to be. Where would you like to go? Okay. Let's move to the next step. And this is probably the one that's misunderstood, overlooked aspect of prayer. Because it's part of prayer, but yet it's something we need to do. Let's look at the next point. It's listening to God. Listening is one of the greatest gifts you can give to someone. Listening says, you matter. Listening says, I value what you have to say. Listening says, you're important to me. Have you ever carried on a conversation with somebody and you're looking at them and they're looking right through you and you're going, what am I talking for? Anybody been in that boat? You know, you're trying to talk with somebody, you're explaining something, you go, they don't even care. What am I? How often do we pray and never listen to God? How often have you prayed like myself? Again, you need to know I'm not perfect at this. It's like, God, I need directions. Thank you. I'm gone. And I didn't wait for God to give me direction. Anybody in that boat? You know, it's God, I need to understand. I need this wisdom. I need this answer. Help me out with this. And God, I'm done praying. I'll catch you next time. And I didn't wait for an answer. See, I want to challenge us. Part of our prayers is to sit still and listen. I really believe we bring all our stuff to God. Here it is, God. Let me outline all the things going on in my life. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you on this one. God wants to hear it. God wants to know what's on your heart. Every little thing. God cares about every aspect of your life. I mean, from the smallest detail to the biggest issue in your life, God cares. And He wants to hear it. But He also has something to say. And many times what we do in our prayers is we go into the presence of God with all the things going on in our life and all the situations and circumstances and all those things that are happening. And we don't pause to listen. And what's interesting is God knew this. That's what's amazing. You know how wise God is? God knew this. So what God did is He said, listen, I know you're going to be busy all week long, so give me a day. Look at what the scripture says. You have 6 days when you can do your work, but the seventh day of each week is holy because it belongs to me. Have you given a portion of time to God in silence? Where you simply sit and say, God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you have to say. And I think we've forgotten this part of it. I don't think we pay attention enough just to be quiet and be still. I want to encourage you with that. We get so busy in our lives. We live in a noisy world. Like I said, I have an iPod now, an iPhone, and I put it in my pocket, put my earbuds in, and off I go. Laura says, I listen to it too much. I'll be walking around the house, got in my pocket, listening to somebody. When do I listen to God? When do I turn that radio off, that TV off? When is there silence and quietness? What's so amazing is that's when it's uncomfortable. Isn't it really? You know, if I was to be quiet now for 1 minute, you guys would start freaking out. You're already, it's just been a few seconds. It's like, what's going on? You know, we get uncomfortable, but we need to be silent in God's presence. We need to hear what God says. You know, we ask, we seek, but do we wait? Do we wait upon the Lord to hear what He has to say? So I want to encourage you, when you're praying, and you're done, just sit there. Okay, God, I'm done. Now it's your turn. And just sit there and listen for that still small voice of God. Listen for his directions. Look at this next scripture. Without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. Let me give you really just four real quick ways that God speaks. Because some of you are probably saying, well, how does God speak? You might want to know. Number one, right off the top, you have it in your hand. If you don't, I got it on my phone. You can pick one up. It's called the Bible. God speaks through this book. You need direction in your life. You need some answers in your life. I'm going to tell you, this book has the answers. All right? If you know, first of all, the answer is Jesus. We're going to get there in a few minutes. But I'm going to tell you, I'll challenge you. And I was telling somebody else this week, the other day, not this week, the week before. Read the Proverbs, okay? Just read Proverbs. And here's a hint. There's like 30 of them, 31 of them. Whatever day it is, read that one, okay? So today is the 14th. Take home, open to Proverbs 14. Mine just went to 27. Open to Proverbs 14 and read it. Tomorrow, get up and read number 15. If you miss a day, don't try to catch up. Here's what most of us do. Most of us read, and then we miss a day, we miss 2 days, and then we don't feel like we're ever going to catch up, so guess what? We just stop. What's so good about reading Proverbs is, whatever day it is, just read it. Don't worry about catching up. Next month, you'll get to it, because it's coming around again. There just happens to be 30 days, 31 days a month. So just read, if you do nothing else, read the Proverbs. Just one a day, just whatever date it is. But see, God speaks through his word and he speaks through the scripture. That's why it's nice to pray and read the Bible at the same time. And he speaks through his scripture there. He speaks through the experiences in your life. You've had some things go on in your life. I look back over my life and God has prepared me for certain situations and circumstances, and God uses those experiences to speak to us. The one thing I always remember that one of our studies we did not long ago, it went like this, that God never wastes a hurt. And I like that because he speaks through my experiences. When things aren't right, that God can use that. He can speak through that experience. He can speak to me. He can use me to speak to others. But God can speak through those experiences in my life and those things going on. He can speak through my hurts. He can speak through my joys. He can speak through others. God can use my friends. God can use my brothers and sisters in Christ. God can use my small group. We need to see and hear that there's others that God can use to speak to us. And, as I was writing the message, I was thinking about some of the men in my life. And like I said, I spoke to one of them the other day when I was at the convention down in Clovis, down by Fresno. And I want to go see another friend, Bill Sims. He's had a stroke. Used to preach in our church and minister, and I really appreciated the man. And he spoke into my life and was someone I would talk with, and he would give me some counsel and answer questions. He'd been a Christian longer and the ministry longer and would be beneficial to me. And I want to see him. He's back in Texas, and Laura and I has talked about, well, next time we fly to see Jer, we'll stop in Texas and go see him and then drive over and see Jer. There's wise counsel in others that are around us, and we need to hear that direction. So here, let's look again. I got a question for you. How often do you pause to listen to God? Regularly, occasionally, or rarely? Circle the one you're at, underline where you want to go. How often do you pause to listen to God? All right, let's go on. Another way we can share our love with God and express our love to God is by publicly identifying with him. Now, what would Laura think? She's not in here right now, so I can speak. What would Laura think if I tell Laura, Laura, I love you. I don't want to be with you the rest of my life. You're the love of my life, but I don't want to be seen in public with you. How do you, what do you think Lord say? Oh, I thank you. You're the greatest thing. I can't wait. Or do you think Lord say, get lost? Do we tell God we love him, but are ashamed to be a Christian sometimes? Shame to be identified as a Christian? It's real interesting. God has a problem with this. Look at what he says. You are a light in the world like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night to all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. You and I are a light in the world. We shine for God. They should be able to see Jesus in us. Every morning, Sunday morning, we stand behind this curtain, the worship team and I, and we pray. And one of my prayers is that you would see Jesus in them. We pray that on Saturday night, that God would prepare us, that when you come in this place, you could see Jesus in them and me. Do others see Jesus in us? Am I afraid to say I'm a Christian? Now, I've been in college. And I've been at, you know, junior college, in college, where, you know, saying you're a Christian can be a challenge. Yeah. I've been in situations at meetings that I have attended and organizations that I have to go to and to sit there and to be there and to say I'm a Christian. Yeah. But can we do that? Can I say I'm a Christian? You know what's so interesting? Here in America, we're free to say it. But you can go to some countries, and if you say you're a Christian, you're a dead man walking, or a woman, because they're going to persecute. We have the freedom, and yet sometimes we don't have the courage to stand up and say, I belong to God. And I want to encourage us to be bold. Now, I'm not saying go out and beat on your neighbor's door. Hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. You know, walk around with a nice picket sign. Hey, look at me. Yeah. I'm saying, are you ashamed? Look what the scripture says. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in his adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes to his Father's glory with the holy angels. When I first became a Christian, this verse stuck in my mind. I was in high school. Most of my friends, as a matter of fact, the only Christians I knew at this point were my cousins. That was it. That's the only ones I knew that were Christians. And this verse really stuck with me. Can I be with my friends and say I'm a Christian? Because if I can't do that, when I stand before God, what's Jesus going to say? This verse says, if I'm ashamed of him here, he's going to be ashamed of me there. I need to step up and be a Christian. Now, for some, let me tell you, the greatest public profession you can make, and most of you have done it, but if you haven't done it, you might need to do it. It's called baptism. Baptism is a public profession that I'm a child of God, and I want everyone to know it. And that's one of the first steps we need to understand as a Christian. You need to make sure that you've made a statement. When I first became a Christian, and I didn't understand all, you need to know, I didn't understand all this Christian stuff. Yeah, I was dragged to church when I was young and made to go to church and did all that kind of stuff. Then I started going with my cousins, and I've shared with you how I realized that there was something different. I didn't know what it was, but there was something different about them and all their friends. And they finally shared with me, my cousin shared with me that I needed Jesus, and I accepted him. And then the next question, you want to get baptized? And it's like, well, if that's what he said to do, I want to do it. But then somebody says, are you sure you want to do that? Somebody I respected. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, maybe I don't. Maybe there's something, this thing I don't know. Maybe there's some hidden thing. Maybe there's some secret. Maybe there's something about getting baptized I don't know. And so it took me 6 months to figure all that out before I made a decision to follow God and his commands in baptism. Baptism, I found out, was just a simple profession for everyone to know that I'm a child of God. Baptism is a way to make a picture that, you know what, I died to my old self, so I'm going to bury my old self, and I'm going to come out of the water as a new person because of what Jesus Christ did for me. I'm painting a picture of what happened in my heart. And it paints that picture. And so if you haven't get baptized, I need to tell you, you need to think about that. You need to pray about that. That's one thing you need to listen for God for. That paints a picture for the world to know that you belong to him. Look at what the scripture says. For in baptism, you see how your old evil nature died with him and was buried with him. And then you came up out of death with him into a new life because you trusted the word of the mighty God who raised Christ from the dead. See, baptism is that symbol for us. But I want to drive after that step home. I want to go to this point. We need to be a witness for him too. We need to share with others the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something that is frightening, that is scary. I'm not going to water it down and say, it's easy, everybody can do it. It is intimidating. It can be frightening. It can be scary to tell somebody that God loves them, that Jesus died for them, that they can live forever with him if they reach a point in their life where they want to follow him. It can be scary. But we're supposed to do that. Look at what it says here again in God's word. Let's look at this next verse. But you receive power, so you're not doing it alone, all right? But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We are to be witnesses. It didn't say if you want to, if you like, in your spare time, when you feel like it. He says, you are my witnesses. And I want to encourage us, if you've been baptized, if you're following him, will you be a witness? And I'm not saying get a big old black Bible and walk around with it. Hey, look at me. I'm saying live the life that others can see Jesus in you, that others will know there's something different. What changed my life was a group of teenagers that there was just something different, and I didn't know what it was. It wasn't anything they said. It wasn't anything that they preached to me. It was just them being the Christian that God called them to be that made me recognize there's something in them that's different. I didn't know what it was, but there was something different, and I wanted it, and they shared it with me. And I want to challenge you. Can you do that? So my question here is, how often do you speak of God? I'm not going to say how often do you witness, how often do you tell somebody. How often do you speak of God? Regularly, occasionally, or rarely? Is he part of your everyday conversations? I'm not going, you have to go and, hey, let me tell you about God. Do you say and bless people in the name of Jesus? That waitress, that clerk at the store, can you just in some way be a witness for God? So circle one of those and underline where you want to be. Let's look at the next one. By being committed to him. When we are committed to him, you will become exactly what you commit yourself to be. You need to understand that. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, is who you want to be. That's your commitment. I don't think we recognize how important commitments are in our world today. I think we blow them off. I think we take it for granted. I don't think we pay attention. But your commitments are exactly who you're going to be. And we need to think about who our commitments are, who our commitments are to, and what we are committed to. And I want to encourage us, what are you committed to? And it's not just you as individuals, it's us as a community. I want you to look at this passage as Joshua is challenging the people of Israel to be a people of God. Look at what it says here. Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is the holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. They're saying, I'm committing, not just me, we are committing. We are making a commitment. You know, commitment is not just something we do as individuals, it's something we do in a community. And it's easier to do it that way. You ever notice that? Let me ask, how many of us have made commitments in our head, in our hearts? We got a day coming around pretty soon, not too far off, called the 1st of January. And we make New Year's resolutions. And New Year's resolutions are commitments. And most of the time we make them in ourselves, and by the 3rd or 4th of January, they're out the door. Am I right? No? But when you tell somebody about your commitment, they are a witness to you. How likely are you to keep that one? Because somebody else knows. Somebody else is aware. That's what I'm talking about here. When we make commitments, we are being committed to him. We want other people to know. To me, that's about the small group. You know, it's hard in here. Yeah, we're committed. Everybody's going to say, we're committed. We all commit. But then you go out, and you're not accountable to anybody. But you get in your small group, and you talk with everybody. It gets a little harder not to keep those commitments. And so I want to challenge you. What are you committed to? What are you giving your life to? Where are you investing your time, your possessions? How are you living your life? Look what the scripture says. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on, you will be at war. You got a choice. Where is your heart? Where's your heart? Are you fully committed to him? That's what love says. Love, you ever hear this thing called half-hearted? Can anything be half-hearted? Either your heart's there or your heart's not. Come on now, am I right? Either your heart's in it or your heart's not in it. There's no such thing as half-hearted. And yet we act like there is. Well, he half-heartedly did that. She half-heartedly did that. You know, I don't want to half-heartedly love Laura, and I don't want Laura to half-heartedly love me. We need to see that's what commitment is about. And God's looking for that, and God wants that in us. And so here's what I want to challenge us with and challenge you, because we need to make commitments. You need to make a commitment to God. If you haven't done this yet, let me encourage you. You got to reach a point in your life where you come to a line in the desert, a line in the sand. And you reach a point in your life where you understand, God, life is not where I want it to be. I'm not who I thought I was going to be. I'm not doing what I want to do. I'm not who I really want to be. God, life isn't what I want. You got to reach a point where you realize that. And God, I can't do it on my own. So God, I'm going to leave my old stuff behind me and I'm going to accept you. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. And you're going to cross that line. You need to make that kind of a decision. And you need to make that kind of a commitment. Then you need to make a commitment to God's family. You need to make a commitment to the church and to that small group that you belong to. That God, I'm part of your family. I'm part of this local family. I'm part of this community right here, God. And I'm committed to be there with them. You know, that's what membership and all that's about. Because then I know who I can count on and who's going to be here and how they're going to work out. You need to make a commitment to grow spiritually. You need to say, I'm going to grow spiritually. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to participate in my small group. I'm going to attend worship service and hear God's word and share God's word. And I'm going to grow spiritually. You need to make those kind of commitments. You need to make a commitment to use your talents and your skills for God. That God, I'm going to serve you with whatever I can do, any way I can serve you. I can't sing, but God, I'm here for you to use. You need to make that kind of a commitment to God, and you need to serve him in that. You need to make a commitment to share Jesus, to tell others about Jesus. God, I want to be aware that I can tell somebody this week that you love them and that you care for them. And not beat them in the head with it, but just say you love them. So at the bottom of your page, this one's a little more complicated than the others that say this. Here's what I put down here. What's your next step? Where are you at? Circle where you're at and underline where you want to go. Do you need to give your heart to Jesus? You need to say, God, I'm tired of doing things my way, I don't do them yours. You need to join the church, the family of God, and get baptized. Do you need to start growing as a Christian? Do you need to find a ministry, a place to serve, a place to be a part of and make a difference with? Do you need to begin to fulfill your life mission and discover what God put you on earth to do as you live for Him? Circle where you're at, underline where you're going. Next step. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're at one, don't want to, you know, you might want to get to the last one, but realize it's going to take some time, okay? Just what's your next step? Where are you going to go from here? Now, our last point. How can we tell God I love Him? How can I share a love affair with God? How do I worship Him? By giving to Him. When I give to Him. This is an amazing church. You go talk to anybody about what this church is doing, and they're amazed about it. This church is building a building, and we're making every effort to do that debt-free. Go over there and look and see what God's doing. Like I said, I spent 2 hours the other day walking around with Dan, where the doors are going to be, and it's exciting. It's exciting. We're going to get back in there again. We're going to have another potluck over there pretty soon. I just want to get back in there again. To me, it's so much fun being in there. Even though it's not finished, it's just fun getting in there and just seeing what God is doing and enjoying that. This church is a giving church. You guys gave to start. You gave to continue. This is a giving church. You've given to the missions around the world. Many of you are giving right now to the shoebox. We're doing that Christmas shoebox. And if you don't know what it is, there's a table out there. You can pick a thing, tells you what to pack up. They got to go out next week. So you got 1 week to get it together. And you can join me, okay? We're going to go out Monday or Tuesday. Laura and I were talking about it already. We got 2 shoeboxes at home. I got 2 new pairs of shoes. And so we're going to go out and fill 2 shoeboxes. But pick up the paper. We're a giving church. We're going to have Thanksgiving baskets, and you guys give for those Thanksgiving baskets. You know, this is a giving church. You guys gave to me. I got a new computer sitting in my living room right now. I can't wait to plug it together. We are a giving church, and we need to be proud of that. That God has blessed us, and that in return for that blessing, we have begun to bless others. Isn't that exciting? To be a part of that? To be an instrument in God's hands? To be a tool that God can use, and to be a part of what He's doing. That's what church is all about. We are a giving, and we need to see that. By giving, we're telling God, I trust You. I love You. You've met my needs, and I know You're going to meet my needs in the future. I believe in You. That's what giving is all about, and that's what it's telling God that I love Him. Look at what the Scripture says. But just as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, in complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. I like what we did when our campaign, we had this little statement going on through the campaign, not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice. Because everybody's going to give different, but we can all have a sacrifice. And what might be sacrificial for me may not be sacrificial for you, or vice versa. But see, God has challenged us to give. And I want to challenge us, are we going to continue? As I looked at this point and started debating about this point, I had to put it in because that's what it's called for. That's what love is all about. When I love Laura, I want to give things to Laura. I enjoy giving things. I'm going to ask you, when you're in love with someone, is it more fun to receive from them or to give for them? Really. When you're in love with somebody, I don't know about you, but when I'm in love, I rather give. I like sharing. You know, I got my grandkids, and we're going to get around for Christmas and all that kind of stuff. I don't care about getting anything from them. You know what I want to do? I want to give because I want to see their faces. Am I right? Come on now. There's something about giving that's exciting. And that's what God has blessed us with. So God, I love You. I'm giving. I'm sharing from the abundance and all that You've given me. And so here's what I want to ask you with this one. What word best describes your giving lifestyle? Regularly, occasionally, rarely. What word best describes your giving lifestyle? Because see, you can give for one of two reasons. You can give cheerfully. The Bible talks about that. Or you can give fearfully. Cheerfully is, God, you've blessed me, I want to share. Fearfully is, God, I've got this, I'm going to give it, but you better take care of me. I don't know if I can do this. I'm not sure about this. I'm kind of worried about this. Can we do this? I don't know. I want to encourage us to be cheerful. Whatever you have, give cheerfully. That's how we tell God we love him. So I want to ask you this morning, do you love him? One of the ways to worship God is by love. Do you love him? When you love him, when you really love him, you will talk with him and you will listen. You won't be ashamed. You will share and you will give. You will pray and you'll be his person as you sing his songs. Do you love him? Bottom of the page like this, I just put it real simple. God, I love you. God, I love you. Do you? God says, I love you so much, I sent my one and only son. Just love me back. That's true worship. I want to encourage you to worship him this week. We've gathered this morning. We've sung our songs. We're going to sing a few more. I want to encourage you to worship him. This morning, maybe you're here and you haven't crossed that line yet. Maybe that first thing you need to give him is your heart and say, God, I'm just tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Maybe you need to make a commitment to grow, maybe to join a church and get baptized, to grow, to use your gifts and your talents, to use the skills God has blessed you with for him, to be a greater witness and a testimony to say, I'm not ashamed. I'm going to stand up for you. This is your time to think about, do you love him? Do you love him? Let's pray.